Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Global Village Radio Show with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, where tonight we feature an encore episode featuring dreams and visions with special guests, Tom G. from the Ramstein Reglan YouTube channel featuring many of the Douglas James Cottrell videos, and guest Robert Appel. We're not taking phone calls tonight as we explore the topic of dreams, visions, and the messages we all receive at night. Now, here's our Global Village host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome, everyone. We're glad to have you with us tonight. Looks like we have several calls lined up here for the show tonight. My good friend and good buddy Robert Appel is standing by, and we'll get Robert on the air in a moment. And also, it looks like we have our good friends in the chat room. Tom G is in Michigan. Welcome to Here We Go. So here we are. We'll get you on the show as well tonight, Tom. Glad you called in. Looks like we got a full schedule ahead of us. Tonight's topic is seeing the future through dreams and visions and other things that go bump in the night. Welcome to the show, Robert. How are you been today, my friend? Are you warm or are you cold, or do I already know the answer to that one?
Yeah, pretty cold.
You got minus 14 or 16 in Toronto?
Cold. All I know is it's cold. I opened the door to go out today, and the door went, whoa, and I said, okay, no, it's okay. I won't bother you anymore, door. That was the end of that.
Wow. It's true. There's so and all that salt and ice on the cars. All the my black car was all white until I took it to the car wash there yesterday. So, my God, the neighbors thought I had a new car. It was all salt-colored white. So, anyway, good to have you on the air tonight, my friend. Even though it's ice cold out there, we're going to warm up the airwaves tonight and talking about dreams. Looks we have several callers waiting in line on the queue. Robert, we're going to talk a little bit about dreams and then get started. And I guess, as you know, dreams are very important to me. I believe that dreams are the soul's language, which is a pictorial display, and that all of us dream every night. Psychologists tell us we dream four times a night. And so that's nice to know, but how come we don't remember those four dreams? Well, sometimes a scene changing in a dream, you're in an outside scene, and then you're in an inside scene, and then you're on the water, and then you're in the air. These different scenes can really be the dreams blending together as if it was one storybook. But in fact, by changing the scene, not necessarily all the time, we are changing the dreams and remembering in part those display dreams that are in our mind. I want to say that I disagree and I have a different opinion than a lot of people that dreams are just a psychological replay of what's going on in your mind, although it's totally possible. You can have an introspection dream. You can have a dream that is revealing to you about your personality or your situation, an educational dream that's there to provide some instruction for you to get by life or a situation in life and how to deal with certain people or things like that. There is a psychological element to the dreams. But for the most part, I believe that everything that is dreamed has something to do with ourselves mostly forward-looking, seeing what's going to happen in the future. You know, part of my lecture, Robert, is when I talk to people, I ask them, have they ever had a dream that's come true? And a lot of people in the audience put their hand up. And then I suggest that if you've had a dream that's come true, and there are so many people in the auditorium that have had the same experience, then the future is perceivable, that we can see through this state of mind that we call dreaming, we can see glimpses of the future. And how many times have you had that happen, people out there listening to us tonight? How many times have you seen a dream, had a dream, and then it's come true? Think about it. Is this clairvoyance? Is this something that's magical? Are you time warping? Are you clairvoyantly looking into the future? All these aspects of being able to perceive the future, these are important to understand. This is a part of your soul mind or the upper mind that we call the soul mind. And that high mind of yours is much more intelligent than you give it credit for. It just doesn't talk so much. It kind of hints. It kind of gives you a little nudge, if you will. And true dreams, you get that nudge or you get that view of what's going to happen or what's important to you. And the one thing to understand, my friends, is that the soul mind takes care of you, the lower mind, the personality mind, the rational mind, which comprises the intellect, the reasoning, the logic, and the deductive characters of who you are, including your personality or ego mind. That high self watches over and guides you through life, through dreams and other things to go bump in the night. We're going to talk about karmic dreams. We're going to talk about looking back in past life situations and seeing yourselves in previous times and how that observation of a past life experience can relate to your present time circumstance. Dreams are amazing, but they're much more than what we give them credit for. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after these important messages. Stay tuned, and more from Robert and Douglas, and soon, Tom. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to an encore version of the Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, where tonight we're featuring dreams and visions with special guests Tom G. from the Ramstein Reglan YouTube channel featuring many of the Dr. Douglas James Cottrell videos and guest Robert Appel. We'll be right back. Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up Podcast exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to douglasjamescottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice. Tonight, June 16th, 2023, you have a rare opportunity to hear our host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, on Coast to Coast AM, a nationwide radio show heard on over 500 local radio stations. Go to coasttocoastam.com and see station listings under the Media tab. That's tonight, hear Dr. Douglas James Cottrell with Connie Willis on Coast to Coast AM, 1 a.m. Eastern Time Saturday morning, midnight Central Time, 10 p.m. Pacific Time tonight. That's Coast to Coast AM, tonight featuring Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, guest, discussing remote viewing and his career.
Welcome back to the show, my friend. Robert, you think, is there any reading that that stands out in your mind that we did an interpretation on a dream that that is amazing or outstanding and wonderful and all those wonderful adjectives and compliments we could talk about? Do you have, you know, looking at my dreams, at some time in the past, I used to ask for dream guidance on the markets, and I used to get the prices of gold every single day. I would get a price. sometimes early on they were pretty accurate, and then after a while they get to be not so accurate. And so every night I would go and say, please tell me the price of gold tomorrow. And I would get a price like $730. The next time I would get another price of the next day, $701. The next day after that, I get $800. And next time after that, a different price almost every single time. It was my good friend and dream co-interpreter, Joe Eichenhofer, who's now in the great mansion above, who figured out that every time we asked a price, what the price of gold was going to do, that we would get a price. And the problem was that as we asked for a price, we would get the next price, high or low, that was going to occur. Now, the trouble is we kept asking, thinking the price we got the night before was the wrong one, and we wanted to know the price for the next day. But what was happening is, as Joe charted and looked at all these prices, that as we went forward in time, several years, we were getting the highs and lows, he and I independently of each other, of the price of gold. But every time we asked, we got the next high or the next low. So we were so far ahead of ourselves that we couldn't make sense of these dreams. And as such, we kept losing money because we would go long when we should go short, or we went short when we should go long. And we became extremely frustrated until we figured out that it wasn't that we weren't being aided and given through the dreams what the prices were, which is that we didn't understand that as we asked, we were given a different price because it was moving forward in time, further and further and further into the future. That's a pretty remarkable statement for me to make, but that's the absolute truth. And I want to thank Joe for figuring it out, because at the end there was some salvation. We weren't thinking we were crazy and having lost a lot of money because we were going the wrong way. It was just our inexperience about understanding how the dreams work. When you ask for something in a dream, you can incubate a dream, you can ask for guidance from the high self, and you will get it. But you get it in such a way that it's non-intrusive. It has to deal with your own free will and free choice. And so, be careful what you ask for, is to say. But Robert, getting back, is there any dream that sticks out in your mind that you can make a comment on tonight, either from the reading or from your own personal background, that you'd care to share?
Actually, no. There's nothing. There's not a lot of dream readings. Or, no, let me correct that. There are a lot, but they're all in the private sessions you do for individuals. There's very few dream sessions that are in the public or research sessions. So other than the one or two in my personal readings, which we've covered in past shows, I'm not familiar with anybody else's dream interpretations.
Okay. I was going to say, you know, if we've done something in where we've discussed something and we've had some dream guidance and revelation that you might have been, because how many readings do you think you've sat in on, Robert? More than two.
I'm guessing 70, 80 easily.
Really? I thought it would be a little more than that, but I don't know if anybody else has the record that you have. I think you're the man who sat in on more readings, had more readings, participated in more research readings than anyone except me, of course.
There's a reason back in the 70s when you started, you used to give green stamps.
That's not true, Robert.
As I said that, I'm wondering if anybody out there even knows what green stamps are. That's a very old reference.
Well, this one, they're kind of like,
if you're,
you better
if you're
explain
listening
that,
and
Robert.
You're,
I remember.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Robert. Karen says she remembers.
Okay,
and,
so
Doug,
we've got a couple.
Course,
so if you're listening at home and you remember green stamps, put up your hand. I know we can't count them all. But spiritually, we'll be taking note of it. You used to keep these books, and you'd eventually have all these books with all these stamps you had to lick, and then you end up having a sponge to lick them all so the glue didn't kill you. And when you had like 150 books of these stamps, which you got a little bit every time you got your groceries, you could take it in and get a toaster oven or a clock radio or a dish rag, depending on how many books you actually brought in. And people in the millions did that, but a long, long, long time ago. So, of course, there's an old saying, if you have to explain the joke, it probably wasn't that funny to start with.
Well, at the same time, that's a little nostalgia, because that would be back in, Robert, before the 70s, middle 60s, something like
that? Yeah,
that
would be 60s.
Green stamps?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. hey, I was just a kid then. What do I know?
Yeah,
well, speaking of kids, let's bring on Tom. Tom's called in tonight, and I think he's on. You're on the air, Tom. Can you hear us?
Tom is much younger than we are, just so people understand that. Tom's a young
I don't know how much, but, yeah, don't feel too young anymore. But, yeah, can you hear me? All right.
Yeah, we can. We're calling you the kid now. Okay, Rob
right.
And I are we're not going
to
say
by the way, Tom is so young that to be on the show tonight, he had to get permission from his parents to stay up.
Yeah, get your parents' permission before you dial. Yeah. By the way, this topic tonight is very synchronous. I just uploaded a video about dream inventions last night, actually. So inventions that were developed through information that people received through dreams.
Well, excellent, Tom, because I was going to cover that tonight, and that's on the YouTube channel. Do you want to tell everybody how you say your channel name again? It's
Ramstein Regalin. And you just go to YouTube, and in the search bar, you type Ramstein Regalin. I would have picked a
and
better
bingo,
name.
You get there.
No, this latest video is not a DTM video, but it's very informative nonetheless. Found this list of inventions created through dreams and thought this deserves to be a video. So there are some amazing stories of what people have come up with through their dreams. And
this is your own research, Tom, or did you use the Deep Trance reading to help on this one?
Little of the former. I have used Google, actually, and it does not compare to the source, but it's a decent resource nonetheless. But this is where people can start taking their dreams a lot more seriously if they did not before, when they realize that information they received through their dreams could end up making them money. It certainly has changed the world, inventions that have come forth.
Give us an example, because we were going to talk about this. I have a couple of dreams. I know was Edison had a dream where he saw a bear holding the sun between its paws, which was a dream giving him guidance on the electric light bulb. There was the inventor of the sewing machine who had a dream seeing the bobbin, the hole in the needle, moving from the top of the needle to the bottom of the needle. And that allowed the invention of the sewing machine. I remember those two.
Elias Howe was his name, inventor of the sewing machine. But yeah, he had a dream of natives attacking him and prodding him with spears. And when he thought about the dream afterward, he realized, wait a minute, there were holes in the middle of the spear points. And he thought a moment, he had kind of a head scratcher. He thought, wait, that's the answer. That's what I've been looking for. Holes in the middle of the needles, hollow point needles. And so from there, from waking up, he rushed into his workroom, and he modified his machine. And he had two needles with hollow points, and the sewing machine, as we know it, was born. And it was a very pivotal invention because it ushered in the era of modern mass-produced clothing. And it indeed changed the world. There are several like that are incredibly pivotal inventions that came through dreams. The inventor of the Google search engine was another. He had a dream where he quote, downloaded the entire web onto computers. You know, he woke up from the dream, and he said he was at his desk all night, you know, trying to work out how to make it work. And that was the seeds were planted then for the Google search engine, which is a household name. And there are many like that. It's really quite stunning.
Well, again, this is part of the evidence that the high self soul mind can help or assist somebody who's in the middle of a project. You know, there was a problem, and indeed the problem was solved by guidance from above. Now, to anybody listening out there, it would be like, well, where did this information come from? How was it given? There was two steps, as I see. There was a dream, which was a pictorial display, the soul's language speaking in its way, giving a dream. And then there was a recognition that the dream was pointing out some solution to a situation in which an invention was made. In other words, an invention meaning no other person in the world knew about this development or this invention, and it came from beyond the inventor through a dream. Now, I would hasten to add that most likely the inventors had other dreams in which they'd used to assist them or help them, and that's why they were paying attention to their dreams. I would give them that much. But think about it. Where did this information come? Where did it come from? If no one else in the world knew about it, except the person who had the dream, where did it start? Was the universe saying it's now time for an invention? Was it the dreamer able to go to the Akashic Records and find where all the storehouse of knowledge is stored from all of time? Or was there something else? You'd be the judge when you think about it. Understand this has happened to people all over the world at different times in history, and some of the great inventions, as Tom alluded to, the sewing machine opened up the modern-day garment industry. Edison invented the light bulb, which basically gave light across the world. These dreams were earth-shattering, so to speak. They were earth-changing. They changed our society. And, you know, somewhere, I just can't help but think, you know, God Almighty might have had his hand in maybe shaping this. I know some of our friends who might think they were getting help from extraterrestrials or beings from beyond, maybe that was the source. I know that angels speak to us in dreams. I firmly believe that. As I read the Bible, I see that there are many accounts in which angels have come to speak to the Holy Family or to other individuals in the Old and New Testaments. And they've given them guidance that have basically saved their life, predicting events, telling them what to do. And indeed, by listening to their dreams, huge benefits occurred to these people. So tonight's topic is dreams and a look forward in the future and other things to go bump in the night. And as Robert said, we've covered some dreams in the previous times, but we want to hear your dreams. We want you to call up and let us know if you had an experience where perhaps you felt you were floating out of your bed and perhaps you saw beings that were taking you from here to there. Or perhaps you were zooming through the higher dimensions above, going to visit a religious icon or a spiritual being or even God Almighty. Perhaps you were working out some past life situation where you could see yourself dressed in that period garments or time, working out a situation with people that you know in this lifetime, which I believe happens. I believe we can peer back in time, and it certainly has happened to me on a few occasions, where I've seen my friends now back in time. One comes to mind, my friend George and I were in Ireland together, and I saw this man sitting there, and somebody said, "This goes back to the 1700s. And I woke up when I heard the voice talk. And the curious thing was that I saw a man sitting there in this Irish tavern or pub with me, and he had a specially shaped pipe. You know, one of those little old man dippy-doo kind of leprechaun kind of pipes, if I can get that impression across. Well, you know, it wasn't any more than a week later when I was at a place where my friend George came, and lo and behold, for the first time ever, he was smoking a pipe. And yes, you're right. It looked exactly the same as the pipe in this dream, telling me that my friend and I had been associated with each other back in the 1700s and that the situation that was going on in our life was a extension of that time. It was a revisiting of the same circumstances back in that lifetime in Ireland that were happening here in this lifetime. Having that understanding allowed me at that time and allows people who deal with this to basically understand the circumstances of what's going on in our life today. Sometimes reaching back in time, associating karmically perhaps with those experiences, and it makes sense as to why things are going on in this life. It helps us understand and get by those difficult times in life or to answer that question, what's this all about? What's happening? Why is this going on? Why me? What's happening to me? I'm sure there are more violent lifetimes that have come through in dreams, but this one was just a simple dream to tell me that the man holding the pipe, this specially shaped pipe, was my friend from long, long ago. We're going to talk about visions, and we're going to talk about visitations, where you can go from here to there and meet people, icons, and perhaps deceased relatives in your dreams. If you're suffering and you're feeling a little, if you're grieving, rather, and you're feeling a little lost, realize that your deceased relative will come back to you in a dream. Usually, those persons coming back, if it's mom and dad, they look a whole lot younger. They might be aged when they passed away, but when they show up in the dreams, they always kind of look like they're about 40 years old. They're always full of life. And sometimes they have a few words of encouragement. Sometimes they'll tell you where they put the will. Sometimes they'll give you some hints on how to help yourself, or if you're going through a difficult time, they'll explain why, and perhaps why it's good for you to do so. But the constant thing is that when people pass on as parents, they come back to visit their children, just like you and I would want to do to our children if we were looking over them from the great beyond. So let us know. Call in tonight. We have a lot of people just listening on the lines here, and we're opening the lines up to ask your questions. It's toll-free, 855-579-4443. Okay, do we have a dream person here? Let's see. We'll go to the phones right now. Robert, we have a first-time caller. This is Sarah from New York. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, good evening.
Here's your first time gong.
Yes.
There you go. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm here tonight to interpret dreams with the help of Robert and our good friend Tom as well. So what's your dream, Sarah?
I was in the office building by myself, and I heard laughter outside the building. And I left the building, and I was alone. And I remember leaving, right before leaving the building, I asked myself, should I bring my ID card with me? You know, there's this swipe that allows you to go back and, you know, back inside the building. And I said, nah, I'm going to just go out for a few minutes so, you know, I can leave the ID behind. I left the office building. And it was, so I'm outside, and it was darkness, and I'm in a forest. And I was expecting, you know, that there will be an outdoor party or some sort of event, because that's what attracted me to leave the building. And I didn't see it. And I also saw there was a distant lightning, and I heard thunder. And I thought to myself, look, it's quite dangerous out here. You know, it was middle of the night, the forest, and I didn't see anybody here. Let me get back into the building. And I couldn't because I didn't bring my ID with me. So I couldn't open the door. And then I was stuck, and I thought, you know what, I guess I will just find my way out of this forest. And then I woke up in this dream.
Okay. Sarah, I got to tell you that we have a pretty poor reception here. It was sort of cutting in and out as you were talking. So I'm going to tell you a little bit what I heard. It seemed to be that you're in an apartment building. Now, apartment buildings are many levels, and that represents the many levels in our mind. The higher the level, the higher the consciousness that you're attaining. And also, you were in this apartment building. You were expecting to leave the building and go someplace where there was a party or something else was going to happen. And as you left the apartment building, you found that you couldn't get back into the building. Is that kind of what you said?
Yeah, it was an office building. Right.
An office building. Okay.
Right.
And it was at night. Night means this year. Daytime means next year. So this is a dream that is going to happen this year. And the office building may represent abundance, a position, a job, but more exactly, when you were leaving one place and going out on the street, it looks like the door was closed to you, so that whatever this consciousness is or whatever this office building represents, it's an ending time for you. So you're expecting maybe to go to a better place, and you get stuck. So it means that there will be a transition in your life where you'll be between work or between whatever the office building represents now. It could be a consciousness, or it could be prosperity. It could be something from the past that you're leaving behind, and you're about to go to something new in the future, but you're stuck in between. So this is a dream that's telling you that there's going to be a delay going from one place, if you will, to another place. And again, I was having great difficulty in hearing what you had to say because of the connection being poor. However, it was a dream giving you some guidance that on the street is only a temporary time, and as you get by this temporary time, you'll be successful. So something is changing in your life, and it will be a complete and sudden change.
What about the lightning in the background? Yes.
Say that again.
What about the lightning that I heard in the background?
The
thunder.
Yeah.
Thunder.
You said there was thunder and lightning, and this is just thunder. This will be a time in which it'll be a scary time, but you're going to be safe. Okay? It's sort of this dream is forecasting in a symbolic way a time that is going to be a time of intrepidation, a time of uncertainty, but you're going to be safe. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. We're really having a lot of trouble hearing you. Robert, can you hear the same as me? This is breaking up a lot.
Yeah, I'm having the same problem.
Same here.
Sorry.
Okay, I think it's just a Skype situation. I don't know why the Skype is not so good tonight. It might be the weather. We'll blame it on being so cold here. But if I understood your dream correctly, it's a transitional dream. It's a time of you going between one job or one consciousness to the next one. And so the idea that you're going to some pleasant time or a party or something, be careful about leaving where you're going, might be what the dream is saying. Or if you are going through this transition, you're going to be safe, okay? But dark clouds and thunder usually mean a difficult time coming up. Okay?
Thank you.
Sarah? Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, let us know. Call in next week or so. And let's hope that this is a good time for you. Okay. Thanks for the call, Sarah. Stay tuned and listen in. Thank you very much for being on the show, Sarah. Okay, let's go to Chris in Vancouver. Oh, sorry, Venezuela. I can't read the writing here. Chris in Venezuela. Welcome, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi,
Hello,
Doc.
Chris.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Can you
just
hear me?
Just a second. Here's your first time caller gong. Yes, we can hear you fairly well.
Oh, good.
Okay,
good. I was worried about that because this is an internet connection also. So,
okay.
The dream that I had was a rather vivid one. My wife and I, we both feel like we need to be of service. And she works in hospice. I don't. I put in power plants. That's what I do. But we've been thinking about opening up a place, and I had a dream about opening up a place in the town that we live in. And it was a spiritual development type center. And it's not that I had anything to do with it. We just stocked it with the books, you know, the Casey readings, et cetera, so that people would have access to it. Because where I live, nobody knows much about that kind of stuff. So there's really no one to talk about or talk to about it. And so we thought, well, you know, maybe this would be an idea. And that's what came in the dream. And it showed us the place, or showed me the place. It was my dream. It wasn't my wife's. It showed the place, the layout. It was pretty vivid. And
well, this when you say
I
you
took
saw,
that as a positive note, but I wasn't sure.
Well, it wasn't a dream you had. This was a future clairvoyant vision of a place, especially when it's so clear and so vivid and so lifelike. This is not a simple dream incubation or dream forming thought. this is an actual perception of the future. Sounds to me like a very good idea about being able to introduce people to the spiritual consciousness of Edgar Cayce or Ross Peterson or Paul Solomon or myself, for that matter, at the last of the Sleeping Prophets. It sounds to me like it's a worthwhile cause. And like the inventions that Tom was talking about, this would be an inventive place, if you can call it. But when you see something as clear as that, and you can find it in the dream, sorry, find it in the life that appeared in the dream vision, then you know it's the right place. As same as the Many Mansions Spiritual Center we have here, 20 years before we bought the place and moved in, the building was being built at that time, or sorry, the building was not built at that time. Only 14 years ago now, the building was built. So we had a vision of a building that didn't exist yet, and it took almost 14 years or so to find it, or longer. And this is a similar dream, a similar pattern to what you're saying right now, especially with it being so vivid and so lifelike. Have you found that building yet, may I ask? Have you located it?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Excellent.
It was kind of strange that the place used to be like a hardware store, and now it's closed, you know, because of economic conditions. So the place is for sale or for rent. And I noticed just before I came down to Venezuela that, hey, look at that. This is available. And the other strange thing is that I don't know if you've heard of a man called Walter Russell. He was
Robert.
I've heard of Walter Russell. He was in the metaphysical field.
Yeah, he was known for doing several of the arts. He's the only man I know that could do a sculpture with 28 figurines in it. So it's quite fascinating. And he has the Poor Angels sculpture there in that hometown. And it says, you know, this is one of the places where the hope of the world is going to be located. So I just thought, wow, this is a lot of strange things coming together in one location. And it's even in his books. He shows it and tells it where it's at and blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's amazing. So for those who want to read about Walter Russell, he's quite the genius. But
Getting back to this vision, if you're asking me what to do, it would be to go slowly, don't make a huge financial commitment, rent the place at first to see if it is going to come true. Because one of the weaknesses, and Robert has mentioned this on the show before, about prophecy and future seeing, is that sometimes the event is very, very clear, but the time is off. And I agree with that. So if you proceed slowly and you have other people in the community are interested in supporting you, I'm not talking about being your partner now, but they're interested in supporting you and starting a center, it will come together all on its own. If it's meant to be, it will come together. The same as this place, we had some difficulties in purchasing it. We had some difficulties dealing with the city and as far as upgrades and fire code, things like that. When I say difficulties, I mean requirements that we had to fulfill. So it's the same thing. Let it happen and put your mind to it. Be mindful that this is what you want to do and then see what happens. You know, go forward as if you had the center already and see. Heck, Robert and I might even come down there. Is it warm down in Venezuela? I think so.
It's about 81 degrees here, but I don't live here. I'm just here to help out the people with the power plant because they've been having some issues. That's it. So I live in Florida, and you probably don't remember me, but that's okay.
Well, the name sounds very familiar. So what I'm trying to say, if you're going to assist these people to get involved in this, then if you've had this dream or vision, then you might be the messenger. Because sometimes we have dreams for other people, and as we have this this dream for other people, you carry the message, and then somehow people locally get the idea, and it starts. Would you be going back and forth to Venezuela very often? Is that a possibility?
No. I'm going to be maybe one more time here, and then I don't think I'm going to be coming back any longer. It's issues, so we'll just leave it at that. But the place I'm talking about is back home in Florida, so. That's where I'm going to do it. And I got that same feeling that it's not for me, because it wasn't me that was making the big draw. It was just me setting it up, and then somebody else was scoring a touchdown, so to speak.
Okay, well, that's where I said you were the message. I think I misunderstood you. You're going to do this in Florida? Is that what you're going to do it? You just happen to be in Venezuela now?
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm in Venezuela.
I misunderstood.
And it's down here that I had the dream. So,
you got the inspiration, you got the dream, just because you happened to be there. Maybe you were relaxed, maybe you were, your mind was clear, and the divine just shed some light in it. So, okay, that makes sense. If you live in Florida and you have this idea and you have inspiration, it's still the advice still holds the same. And that is to say, see if the community will get behind it, and local people will provide it. And you're the prophet in this case. You're the oracle. You're the one that has seen the glimpse of the future, and now you're providing this message. And we'll see what happens. Florida's
right,
not
well,
too far.
Well, thank you so much for taking the phone call and for. Give me your opinion, and because to me it's worthwhile, and thank you, Robert, also.
You're welcome.
Okay. Right. Well, nice to hear from you, Chris. And where do I know you from? We met before. Your name sounds very familiar.
Well, no, I think we made one of those phone conversations where we ask about, hey, where should we go? And so you kind of put us up there.
Okay.
You said it was kind of weird. I mean, you said it's 150 miles in this way and that way. Between 150 and 200 is 166 on the button.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'd like a nice little letter. We like a nice little letter of recommendation, please and thank you. Robert did something similar last week where he told me I was out 3 minutes on his birth time when the first time we met him. Do you remember that, Robert? Last week?
Yeah, that was last week's story. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay, well,
yeah,
I'm glad you found your spot, and now you have a message. You're hearing a message to the people in Florida. And, let's keep in touch. Florida's a good
all
place.
Right,
I like St. Pete's Beach. Okay.
Okay. All right, Doc. We'll
okay.
do it. Thank you so much again.
Thank you for being on the show, my friend. Take care. Okay.
All right.
We're going to go from sunny, sunny, warm Venezuela to guess where? Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan, Carol, come on in. Carol, you're on the show.
Hey, hi.
Hi. Now, we were in the 80 degrees where this man, Chris, was a moment ago. How much below zero are we in Saskatchewan?
Oh, about 22 below.
And that's Celsius degrees, right? So this is
cold.
Absolutely. Okay. You had a dream about your daughter?
Actually, yeah, I've got quite a few heroes happening. My daughter seen the moon the other night, and in the moon was a cross, a really bright, bright cross. She wanted to know, what did that mean?
Well, remember, when you look towards the moon, you might not be actually looking at the moon. You might be looking through the atmosphere. You might be looking at different things, but they look like they're superimposed. And you also can be looking at the moon and not really seeing the moon as a entity. You could be looking at something in your mind's eye, which is seeing a cross on the moon itself. And this is what I think. So somehow the intuition superimposed a cross on the moon. Now, I'm just looking at the moon and through my mind, and I'm trying to see what your daughter saw. And I think it was something that was in her psychic ability to see a cross on the moon. And it looks like it's straight up to me, It looks like it's almost the full size of the moon. So yeah. this means to me, it's from what I'm looking at, it means that this was superimposed on the moon. And I think this was a message to her that this was a consciousness increase in her, that she has abilities to see visions, and that she will have a vision from Mary or Jesus or some holy family member like that, probably the Madonna, probably Mary, and that this was a not an initiation, but sort of a waking up, that your daughter is going to be able to see things, visions or intuitive visions very easily, and probably has been for some time. But this is kind of like a wake-up time. I don't think she saw the moon with a cross on it, but she saw this superimposed cross, which is a signal to her that she has the gift. She can perceive things. And looking into the, through the light into the heavens above gives me the, allows me to come to the conclusion or the deduction that your daughter will be able to see heavenly bodies, holy beings, or at least have a visitation from somebody like Mary or Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Okay, I got another question. I do a lot of praying, and I think it's my mom. Every time I pray, I feel someone touching my hair or putting their fingers through my hair. Is that
my
mom?
Did your mother do that? Did your mother do that when you were younger?
Yeah, she always liked my hair because it's so blonde, eh?
She did. She used to do that when you were younger? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. They always come back, meaning the people that we know, they always come back and they do something that they did in real life so that we're familiar with it, and it's an unspoken message. This is what I would call an angel visitation, where your mom comes back and she's touching you or doing something to you as if she was alive in the flesh, but in fact she's alive in spirit. I only say we change addresses. We don't... We don't come back. It's not like we're absolutely banished from the world. It's that we just changed addresses, changed our form. And so if that's the case, your mother's coming back to comfort you and loving you just like she did when she was a child. And this is sort of a consistent activity with many people who have had similar experiences. The parent comes back and does something that is only known to you, and in such a way, you know it's your mom. It's a loving feeling, and your mind goes to your mom, when they do this, which is, again, an intelligent way to do something that you can feel or sense that allows your mind to, get it. You make the connection that was your mom. So I can see your mom standing behind you, and she's stroking her hair almost, I'm not sure if it's her left hand, but it looks a little odd the way the hand or the arm's moving through your hair. So your mom's standing behind you, and she's, kind of just sending you endearing feelings and thoughts. She'll be with you for a while.
Yeah, just giving me some comfort, letting me know that she's still with me. Yeah,
she'll be there for a while, and then one day she'll be gone because she has other work to do, and she has her own spiritual growth to do. That's going to be, that'll be in a while. It won't be right away, but she's enjoying the time. Whatever you're doing, you're raising your children properly, or she's quite happy with it, and she's also encouraging you to not be, don't hold back. It's okay for you to go out and try the next adventure. Don't hold back, for your life, for other people. Go ahead and you try your own life. I think she's encouraging you that way. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, it does. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, those are the thoughts that are coming in my head, so you got a little angel message tonight. Anyway, thank you, Carol. So stay warm out in Saskatchewan.
Yes, I sure will.
And let us know what your daughter comes up with in the future. I suspect she's going to be able to see into the future, and I think this is what it was, an initiation, or it was an indication that she has this ability.
Yeah, well, she wants to come up there and meet you, too, so there's a bunch of us coming.
Well, we'd love to have you here. We're just near Niagara Falls, so you're welcome to come when we have a course or a weekend or our services here. Love to see you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for being on the show tonight. Take care.
Okay, blessings.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Tom, these dreams, this video that you have out on YouTube, can you give us another hint at one of the other inventors that you have in it?
A little bit departing from the original topic of this broadcast, which was the radio broadcast tonight, which is dreams of the future and so forth. But as far as dream inventions go, I put some of my own information in there that I discovered more recently, along with the information from the website that I got most of the data from on the inventors and what they came up with. But Andreas Wecker is a gentleman who is an Olympian. He is a gymnast from Germany, and he competed years ago in the Olympics. He came down with a life-threatening health condition, essentially like Crohn's disease. He was diagnosed with Crohn's as well as possibly other conditions that were really draining him. He lost a lot of weight because his food was not absorbing. He was consuming food, and it was not digesting or absorbing properly. At that point, he went in to see the doctors, and they really criticized him for waiting so long to come in. But they said, we got to schedule you for surgery immediately, because he apparently had lost the majority of his blood through the condition. And they said, we're going to have to take out a section of your intestine, and this will leave you with a colostomy bag. If you have known people who are left with that, they got to just essentially hack and slash part of your gut out. The surgery is fairly easy for them to do, but it has completely life-altering implications. Whoever receives it, they have a colostomy bag. So that's what they said they needed to do to him, and he said, let me try to find a solution on my own here. And through some alternative advice, he found that he was able to use seed oils, including like coriander and flax seed oils, these different seed oils, and he was able to take these different seeds and press them, extract the oil from them, and use that seed oil to recover, and it worked. He was able to completely recover and was able to take these seed oils in sufficient amounts, and he was pressing a lot of seeds, but he was desperate to save his own life, of course. He recovered, but he still had a conundrum. Namely, in order for the oils to be effective, they had to be pressed and then consumed immediately after. Like if you've ever gone to a juice bar and they make the juice right in front of you and then you consume it, because right after they make the juice, right after they extract the juice, the enzymes are at their peak and the juice is strongest. If you wait 24 or 48 hours, it's not nearly as strong anymore or as helpful. And so the same thing with these seed oils. They had to be extracted and then consumed immediately after. So that meant he had to do it live each day. And if he was going to produce a product and market it to help other people the way these oils helped him, then bottling it and shipping these oils would be next to impossible. They would lose their effectiveness in shipping. And so he had a conundrum, and he just couldn't figure it out. Well, one night he woke up around 2 a.m. from an extremely vivid dream he had, where he saw in his mind's eye, he saw in the dream, he saw a schematic or blueprint of a device. And he woke up, and he immediately grabbed a pen and paper as the best thing he could have done, because dreams fade from memory quickly. He grabbed a pen and paper, and he wrote down the device he saw in his dream, this schematic, this blueprint. But he wasn't really a blueprint guy, so he couldn't really figure out what he was looking at. He was just essentially dumping his dream to paper. So he wrote it down, and he contacted a person in Germany who was an engineer. He ended up running into him and gave them the information and what he had written down, and said, can you figure this out? Can you make heads or tails out of this? And the engineer looked at it and said, well, it has a schematic of a device of some sort. It's pretty detailed. You know, let me try to build it for you. And so he did. Turned out the device he saw was the answer to his conundrum that of the seed oils. It was a seed oil press extractor that was different from any other seed oil extraction that existed at the time. And so he made this invention, he developed it, and it turns out that he called his new invention the instant press because of how it extracted the oils from the seeds, and it preserved the potency, preserved it for a while, and from there he put it into like a violet-colored glass bottle to shield it from light, which would also degrade the ingredients quickly. And he put it there, and he bottled it accordingly and used his instant press. And you have this has revolutionized seed oil press technology in the fact that it'll be potent and at its peak and very helpful and effective for months after extraction. He got over the problem. It came in his dream, and it's a new product called Panacita. Now, all this, I'm not giving an endorsement. It sounds like it, but this is a gentleman who encountered this information in his dreams that turned out to have extremely far-reaching implications, and now it's turned into a product that's being marketed, and he's a business owner now, and this can happen from the dream state. Pretty wild stuff.
Well, that's pretty accurate. My friend Joe Eichenhofer invented a machine called the Hofer-Chucker, which was decades ahead of itself. This was a high-speed milling machine that indexed in different stations to do a cutting job or a cutting routine in a piece of metal. And the most amazing thing was that for the first time ever, horsepower was being able to transfer between two plates, that is to say from the motor that created the horsepower, through a magnetic interface, two plates coming together, and that the other face would drive the piece that was going to be cut. And this was never heard of before, and Mr. Eichenhofer invented this, and he was getting dream guidance. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing that with the world, but he was getting dream guidance on how to build this machine. And again, we talked about Edison with the light bulb. We talked about the sewing machine revolution. You know, where does this information come from? But most importantly, there's a crisis. There's a need to invent something that has implications that it's a worldwide improvement. And the thing is that this came to this fellow out of his personal need, but it just came to him. He didn't, I'm assuming now, he didn't strive to understand. He didn't even understand the complexity of the schematic or the information or the plan, but there it was given to him. And he had the one thing that most of us fail to do. He had tenacity. He went forward with the dream. He asked for guidance, even though it looked ridiculous. He asked somebody to figure out what this machine, this blueprint was. Because he had conviction and he had tenacity, the world shared in this. And as you say, we're not endorsing this. I don't know too much about it myself. Robert, have you ever heard such a machine as this that Tom's mentioning?
No. I'm not familiar with the product. It does sound very interesting, and I know from my own experience that many of these products are very unstable and they do degrade very quickly. And, of course, also by coincidence, that's how you and I met, Doug. I had a diagnosis of colitis or Crohn's, and I was on a search to find a solution, which I did find. So I understand his story was meaningful to me.
Okay. Well, the idea that not only the machine was given to him, but also the ability to, as you mentioned, Tom, how to preserve the product so that it could be transported to people who would take it. I'm wondering, was there any proportions of these oils given? Was there any combinations of that given too, or did he have to figure that out himself? Do you have any information on that, Tom?
Yeah, I'm not sure if he received that information through the dream or if he just received the machine itself. I think it was just the machine itself, but some people, it all depends what you ask for, of course. As far as where the information comes from, shrinks or psychologists, psychiatrists, they would say, well, all your dreams are a reflection of your subconscious mind. And that, to them, is the end of the story. I mean, that is kind of their scope of knowledge regarding dreams, the Jungian kind of attitude towards it. They recognize the conscious and the subconscious mind. Well, metaphysically, we don't have two minds. We have three. There is, or four if you count the universal mind, but we have the conscious and subconscious and the super subconscious, which is also called the soul mind or the superconscious. It depends on religion or philosophy, what they call it, but every person has more than one mind and they have more than one body. But the superconscious mind is where this creativity and where the answers to the questions comes from, and it flows from that source. Psychology does not recognize it, at least not yet.
Well, I think that you summed it up. The collective consciousness, the soul mind or the Akashic records, whatever, the idea is that when somebody has a dream and they invent something from it, how can that possibly be converted back to this was always in the person's subconscious mind, or this was some knowledge that they had already gained from talking to somebody, reading a book, listening in on a conversation, and the subconscious, which is like a gigantic sponge or a tape recorder, was able, MP3 I might now say, was able to pick up this information. Impossible, because it didn't exist until the person was able to have the dream, interpret the dream that he himself didn't even understand until he was put in the hands of an engineer who didn't quite understand it until they actually produced this super press. Is that what you call it, Tom? Is it called super press or simple?
He called it instant press, and he's really tight-lipped about exactly how it works. He's probably afraid of people making cheaper knockoffs of the product, which of course happens in the world of inventions. But there are so many of them. There's an African American woman who's in the Guinness Book of World Records for the first female American millionaire, Madam C.J. Walker. She developed a line of hair care products. She had a scalp infection as a young woman, and one evening she had a dream where she said a tall black man appeared to her and recited all these different ingredients to put in a hair product or lotion. And she woke up from her dream and she wrote down the ingredients. Some of them had to be sourced from Africa. They were not all indigenous to the North America. So she put it together as her dream instructed and started using it, and it was very effective for her. She gave some to her friends. It worked for them as well, and she made up her mind there and then to begin to sell it. She bought her own building, factory, equipment, as she built her business on this product, and she became very wealthy from this product.
So that goes a long way to say, there's profit in them, their dreams. Not so bad. We're going to be right back after a short break. Stay with us. We have more calls. The number to call in is 855-579-4443. We have more information on dreams tonight. Fascinating stuff here tonight on The Oracle Speaks with Douglas James Cottrell, my good friend and co-host Robert Appel, and our special guest and a friend of the show, Tom from YouTube Pink. We'll be right back after this.
We're so glad you tuned in tonight to the Global Village Radio Show with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. We'll be back in just a few moments. Many years, clairvoyant seers have had the ability to peer into the Akashic field and see the library of information for every thought, deed, and action of souls living on the physical earth plane. One of four such individuals, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, trained under the direction of Ross Peterson, who, just like Edgar Cayce, was able to diagnose and provide guidance for physical and other problems encountered in daily life. One of Douglas's many books, The Complete New Age Health Guide, is a plentiful resource from thousands of clairvoyant readings. You'll learn how thought, emotion, and attitude influence your physical health, keys to anti-aging, the simple ways to a good life and diet, and so much more. Take a look at the New Age Health Guide. On sale now at DouglasJamesCottrell.com.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is Douglas James Cottrell speaking. Hey, visit my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and check out the new website. We've just updated about a week or two ago. Lots of information on. We have a perfect book for you tonight, Dreams and Visions, and it's simply and economically placed at $9.95. Go on the website, go on the store, look for Dreams and Visions. It's an e-transcript. And it's by yours truly. Jam-packed full of information, learning about how to dream, how to prepare for dreams. Talks about nightmares and visions and prophetic dreams. And the symbolic dreams, the reoccurring dreams and dreams during the daytime. And how to receive advice and recall and interpret your dreams. $9.99 on the store right now. Please check in at douglasjamescottrell.com and go grab your copy. You can have it instantly delivered to you right away. Okay, I want to say hi to Waiba in Staten Island. Hey, Frank, Frank Jess in Toronto. Good to hear you listening on the show again. Miranda in New York City, welcome to the show. We have Rosalie in Maryland. We have Andrew in Toronto, and we have Arlene, who is somewhere in the ethers because we don't have an address down. Thank you, Karen, for letting me know that those are our fans out there listening. And, of course, there are people all over the world who are listening in. We have three times more callers, I shouldn't say callers, listeners around the world as we go through the time zones around the world who listen to Blog Talk, The Oracle Speaks. Around the world. So to all those people listening in, we want to say hello to our friends in Norway and Australia, to our friends in Hawaii and Africa, and we have some new friends in South America. I was in Buenos Aires a year and a half ago, and we want to say hello to them as well. And, of course, my special lady in Spain, Bezos, we hope to see you soon. And to everyone else out there listening in, we're looking forward to having you call in on the show or enjoy the show in your comfort of your own home in your own time zone. You know, this last week I was in Toronto and we had an event there that was very well received. We had an intimate group of people that were there and they got, I think, the best possible show. We were demonstrating intuitive abilities. We were explaining how they work. And we were telling people how they, too, could develop them themselves. They were learning more about clairvoyance, remote viewing. We talked about karma. We talked a little bit about energy work. We did aura demonstrations, and we did demonstration of how to see aura, candle gazing, and a lot of really neat stuff. So if you're interested in revisiting and coming out to our next event, better sign up soon. You get 25% off the price if you pre-register. It's going to happen on or about February the 22nd, 2014. We'll confirm the date for sure, but right now, call in and let me get your name on the call list, and we hope to see you in the very near future. It'll be in Toronto at the Holiday Inn downtown at Carlton Street. And again, you save 25% off the price if you book in advance. And you can reserve your tickets or call in. Go to the website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and you'll find all about it on the store, or simply call the office, and Karen would love to talk to you, 905-393-5104. So to all our friends out there listening tonight to the worldwide broadcast of The Oracle Speaks, welcome, Wherever you are, I hope it's warm. And for those people who are listening to the show, I hope you're enjoying tonight's show. We have a lot of different items going to show. It's quite a dynamic show tonight. We have Patrick in Orangeville who's going, Oakville, Orangeville. Where'd that come from? My grandfather was born in Orangeville. I didn't find that out till I did the family tree. And I used to live in Orangeville there back in the early 80s, 1980 to 1988 or something. Well, I used to have a building there in any event at First Avenue and First Street. There we go. Remember that place, Robert, First Avenue and First Street in Orangeville?
How could I forget? Those were the good old days. Life was simpler. There was a pastry shop around the corner.
This is true, and you love pastry. I remember you would come in when we'd come to visit, and you'd bring in these lovely gourmet pastries. Is that something I can say? They were absolutely delightful.
Yeah, well, Orangeville is not known, or at least it wasn't in the that period, as a hub of international cuisine. But it turned out that a first-class credentialed pastry chef from Europe had settled in Orangeville and took it upon himself in a town with where the main street was the size of your backyard and it had six stores and a gas station, as I recall. One of them was this pastry shop, and it was really long and narrow, and I'd wander in, and by the time I got to the back, I was just in a hypnotic state. And I think I would buy the strawberry tarts. I mean, it was all phenomenal. It was just absolutely phenomenal. Even now, I remember that.
My mouth is watering, Robert. Can you rush over with it? Half a dozen, please.
Wonder if he's still there. I guess not.
No, Orangeville's changed greatly. My building that I used to own at the corner of First Avenue and First Street is still there looking remarkably the same. It was an old Victorian-style house, and we had a listener or a client had a friend go by and take some pictures of the old Omega Research and Development Group building that we were starting our spiritual center back in 1979, 1980, in which we did have a lot of good times there. We had a Wednesday night miracle healing group going on there. We had genuine miracles occurring. It was an amazing amazing time. We didn't know how good we had it, I think. And however, days gone by, the good old days, and here we are today with Deja Vu, Mini Mansion Spiritual Center here on Hamilton Beach. We love this place. We hope to have this as a spiritual center par excellence, and hopefully one of the largest spiritual centers in Canada. For those people who are listening and want to know more about it, you can look on the Mini Mansion Spiritual website, nmsci.org. It's a nonprofit company, and you're welcome to have a look at it at your leisure. Or come down and visit us, and you can get to go to the CN Tower in Toronto or Niagara Falls, same time, same distance. We'd love to see you. We're going to go to Oakville now instead of Orangeville. We got off on a tangent there. And we have Patrick standing by, who's a friend of the show. Patrick, welcome to the show tonight, my friend.
Thank you. You're confusing me, too, but I'll ask my question. Can you influence the subject or the quality of your dream by any food or drink, any beverage or food that you eat? I'm thinking of maybe Don Juan, the Yaqui shaman, who probably could give us all some magic mushrooms and give us some interesting dreams.
Well, I can tell you my friend Ross Peterson once did a dream. As a matter of fact, he had a dream tape that he sold commercially, and in the dream he was talking about nightmares, and he blamed nightmares on a piece of cheese, if I remember correctly. So I think it's, yes, you can. Sometimes those monsters that chase you around in your dreams or those nightmares are actually talking about the indigestion and the war that's going on in the body. And so by eating food that is disruptive and food that is, let's say, ill-suited for the body, I think your mind turns inward and you start to have an intervention dream and you see what's going on in the body, the war in the intestines or the problems in the assimilation. And I think that's very true. The other side of the coin is, yes, the deep trance readings. I think, Tom, you once said a long time ago that many, many readings had mentioned slippery elm tea, and it turns out to be given as a relaxer to enter sleep. It's an anti-stress tea or drink to sort of a calming effect, and it has remarkable calming effects on people during the day if they have a nervous disposition. But also it seems to be one of the remedies that the readings were getting at for people who had the now well-known leaky gut syndrome. And so slippery elm tea was something that was often recommended. And as Tom can vouch, I think, Tom, you must have transcribed a couple of gazillion readings for me. And as such, this can influence how you sleep and therefore influence your dream as well. So I'm sure that there are mind-waking chemicals or foods that we can take, and there are those substances that can disrupt us and give us nightmares. Good question, Pat.
Anything that coats the stomach, and a little warm milk before bed, a little warm milk, but mostly, as you said, it's slippery elm tea would be helpful, or slippery elm dissolved in a little bit of water and taken. But that's the criteria. Anything that coats and relaxes the stomach and soothes the body will put you in a more relaxed state so you can reach the deeper states of sleep, and that will lead to better dreams and better recall of the dreams. So hopefully that answers your question.
Okay, yeah, and alcohol probably is not recommended if you want good dreams.
I don't think, Tom. I don't think the readings ever really said, okay, you want to have more dreams? Let's drink some, you know, scotch on the rocks or a James Bond martini. But
no.
Alcohol is a tranquilizer. It's found in nature, and so red wine or alcohol, you know, not taken to excess. Could, I think, relax the same. But I'm up with Tom. I think we'd rather go for a slippery elm tea. But the point is that if you use alcohol, you might have problems with memory, and you might have difficulties with accessing the higher realms, and the alcohol might take you to the lower realms, like the astral plane. And if you become somewhat with too much alcohol, open up the top of your head, the aura opens up or shrinks, and you know, those entities from the astral plane can influence you in a dream, which it becomes more than a dream. It becomes an interaction, sort of a possessive thing. And we like to call those invasions, or, you know, when somebody comes in, it's sort of a temporary influence. And so alcohol taking to excess is something that you're right, Pat, that nobody should be taking it to try to get to the higher realms. If anything, it's a slippery slope. A little red wine would be helpful to relax and start digestion, but beyond that, you start to get into the dark areas. You were going to say that.
Apparently also alcohol, it may make people drowsy, but then it will wake them up a few hours later, and they probably can't get back to sleep. It's very disruptive to sleep, actually.
I think you're right. I think anything that tries to control the body, the alcohol affects the blood sugar level, and you're right. I don't know anything, Robert, that would, you know, on that the readings have said about alcohol that you would care to add?
Actually, I don't remember alcohol ever being taken to task. On the other hand, I don't remember anybody ever asking, is alcohol a bad thing? Because who would want to know the answer to that question in the modern society? I do know of readings where some alcohol was recommended for people with sluggish systems, including myself. I've been told in multiple readings a little brandy now and then would be helpful. And I don't drink at all, so I have a bottle of brandy in the fridge, which I take a sip of every couple of weeks. It's been there for 6 or 7 months, I think. It's a small bottle. It's an airplane bottle to start with.
Yeah, as Granny Clampett would say, for medicinal purposes only.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thanks for being on the show, Pat. You're a good friend of the show, and we love to have you on from time to time. So you take care. Stay warm in Oakville. And a good question for the show tonight. Thanks, Pat. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Hey, we have lots of people listening on the guys. We can see the computer here, and we have 8 or 10 people just hanging in there. I hope you're enjoying the show. We had a lot of people on the chat, Tom. They were making comments. And for those people who are listening and on the chat, Big Bob, howdy doody, and all the other people out there, I can't really read the chat, what's going on from here. But we're sure happy that you're on the chat line making comments about the show. Tell all your friends and neighbors. We'd love to have you back on the show. We hope to hear from you around the world. We appreciate those emails that come in and tell us how well we're doing. And for those people who are out there who are just listening, and I met some on the weekend at the Toronto event that we had, telling me that they like the show. We'd like to hear from you from time to time. Please send an email and let us know with your comments or suggestions, or just let us know how we're doing. Really appreciate it. And you can email Douglas James. Let me do that. Yeah, Douglas James Cottrell. Are we doing changing an email now? What are we doing here? info@douglasjamescottrell.com. Excuse me. That's the direct one for this, the blog talk. info@douglasjamescottrell.com. We're going to be right back after these important messages. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore version of the Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, where tonight we're featuring Dreams and Visions with special guests Tom G. from the Ramstein Reglan YouTube channel featuring many of the Dr. Douglas James Cottrell videos and guest Robert Appel. We'll be right back.
Dr. Douglas, Sojourn of the Soul, a collection of questions and answers about the soul, the pre-existence, the post-existence, death, and reincarnation. How were souls created? How many souls are there? Where did they come from when we are born, and where do they go when we die? Can souls be destroyed? Are there old souls and young souls? Plus important information on preparing for physical death, coming to terms with accidental deaths, soulmates, twin souls, soul groups, and planetary sojourns. One customer wrote, "Douglas, this is the second most important book you have published. First is Secrets of Life, then this one. It is astonishing. It also can be considered something of a Western Book of the Dead, in that it deals with death in a manner lacking in most texts and even in most religions. Learn more about your own soul and its sojourn in the physical and spiritual realms. Get this amazing information now when you buy Dr. Douglas's newest publication, Sojourn of the Soul, on life, death, and the dimensions beyond. To order your copy, visit the Douglas James Cottrell online store at www.douglasjamescottrell.com and click on Store or call 905-393-5104. The New Renaissance, a prophecy of 2012 and beyond, is your guide to coming earth changes, how to prepare, and what lies beyond. This is the most up-to-date information from the source, never available before. Find out safe places to live and what provisions you need to stock up on now to survive. The prophecy is that as the earth rights itself, a new renaissance will emerge, totally transforming our society and the way we relate to one another. A spiritual awakening is already taking place. The New Renaissance, now available in English, French, Portuguese, and Spanish. To order your copy, visit the Douglas James Cottrell online store at www.douglasjamescottrell.com and click on Store or call 905-393-5104.
Tonight, June 16th, 2023, you have a rare opportunity to hear our host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, on Coast to Coast AM, a nationwide radio show heard on over 500 local radio stations. Go to coasttocoastam.com and see station listings under the Media tab. That's tonight, hear Dr. Douglas James Cottrell with Connie Willis on Coast to Coast AM, 1 a.m. Eastern Time Saturday morning, midnight Central Time, 10 p.m. Pacific Time tonight. That's Coast to Coast AM, tonight, featuring Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, guest, discussing remote viewing and his career.
Welcome back to the show, my friends. This is Douglas James Cottrell speaking, and you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, The Oracle Speaks, with my good friend and co-host Robert Appel and our special guest tonight, Tom of YouTube fame. We're here tonight talking about dreams and visions. We're going to, I think we've got Chuck was on and off again. We're going to go to Chuck in Georgia, and Chuck has a question. Welcome to the show, my friend. Can you hear us, Chuck?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, we can. Loud and clear. 5x5. Okay. Your question is?
Well, I usually don't remember my dreams. And I understand that there are a lot of messages in dreams, and I might be wondering if there's something do I need to do some sort of affirmation for going to bed? Or am I in poor health that I don't remember them, or what? But just kind of curious about what it might mean or what I should do.
Okay, well, it's a fair question. Are you outside in the breeze somewhere? We have this background music on your cell phone or something like that?
I'm driving. Are you picking up
the phone? Yeah, I guess we can hear the wind blowing in the window there. And, of course, you're sitting in the passenger seat and somebody else is driving the car, right?
I've got headphones on and my hands are free.
There you go. Okay. Fair enough. Okay. It's a good question. And a lot of people say, I don't dream at night at all. Well, there's really a lot of wind in your microphone, my friend. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. There we go. Maybe roll the windows up there we go. Pardon? No, it's okay.
Is it better?
So the answer to the question, yeah, that's better, very much better.
Okay.
The answer is that we dream about four times a night. You don't have to do anything special except have some binder paper. I like to use three-ring binder paper because it's cheap and it allows you to set up your dreams in such a way where you simply scribble whatever comes to mind in the morning. I think we're going to mute your call just for a second, okay, so we don't get that background. We'll get you back on. Hang on, Chuck. So the idea is that you have three-ring binder paper beside the bed with one or two pens or a pen and a pencil, and the intention is as soon as you wake up in the morning, you try to remember whatever little glimpse of what's going on in your mind, and you write it down. If you don't remember a scene or an action or a direction like up or down, left or right, write down how you feel. I feel excited. I feel panicked. I feel calm. And the idea is to start the habit of recording your dreams. If you wake up to an alarm clock, it's not so good because it scares you when the alarm clock goes off and you switch from the subconscious mind or the dream mind, the soul mind, to the conscious mind really fast, and your nervous system actually jolts or is startled a bit. So that's one way to definitely close the door. It's like you're thinking from the left to the right in your rational mind, and while you're in the subconscious, you're thinking from the right to the left. And there's a porthole between these two minds. And the idea is that not to startle yourself or to wake yourself up suddenly, or to get out of bed and run to the washroom. Make little notes about the scenes that you're in. Perhaps I was on a boat in the water, saw sharks in the water, saw a plane go overhead, saw a mountain in the distance. And then you go to the washroom or you wake up a little more, and then you fill in the blank, so to speak, by writing in more detail, paying attention to directions in the dream, paying attention to actions that are going on in the dream, and paying attention to the symbols in the dream. In other words, the people or the vehicles, if you see a bus or a train, and you put it all together later. You write it down as much detail as you possibly can. And sometimes the most minute, insignificant item in the dream is the most important way to interpret the dream. And you get it all down, and once you write it out, I suggest you don't look at it or try to analyze it that day. Wait a day or two until your mind gets back away from it, and you're not in the emotional clutch of the dream. And then when you look at it, you'll see the dream will be blatant. It'll have a meaning for you that will just jump off the page. And remember, we're dealing with the mind's language, which is a pictorial display. Seeing yourself on track, running down the tracks, pushing a wheelbarrow, and there's a mountain in the future, or sorry, in the distance, and you can see the railroad tracks going up the mountain, says in the interpretation, although it looks ridiculous, is that you're on track. Whatever you're pushing in the wheelbarrow, you're achieving something, you're going ahead, and the wheelbarrow signifies your wealth or some product or something you're taking with you. And the mountains in the future represent your ultimate success because it goes up. Up is successful, down, well, it's not successful. Okay, you want to mute the call again?
Hi, can you hear me?
Okay. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. You're back on now. We've unmuted the microphone. A question or a comment?
No, I that's very good. I'll make use of that.
Okay, the best way to wake up, Chuck, is to have the light come through the windows and you wake up with the light and you don't have an alarm or a radio go off, anything like that. So when you have a gentle wake up like that, you'll remember your dreams a lot more. And, of course, if you have to use an alarm, during the week, then maybe the best time would be the weekends. You can ask for guidance, and you can do that by writing down on a piece of paper some question about what would be the best food I should have. Try to ask a question that is a single question, and it's not one that can be misunderstood. In other words, should I stay in my job? You'll see yourself in a building or outside a building.
I hope you're
enjoying your driving in Georgia. Right, you got the windows down in your car, enjoying your drive. So we're all envious. Anyway, thanks, Chuck, for being on the air tonight. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Stay tuned. Take care. God bless. Good question. Okay, well, I'm a little envious that Chuck's in Georgia, and there he is driving along, enjoying himself. Tom, what's the weather like over in Michigan? Are you doing as well as us?
It's pretty frigid, snowed in. Yeah, it's last I checked, it was like 17 degrees Fahrenheit. So.
Yeah, that's about minus 14 or 16 here, so not too bad. We have a little bit of time left in the show tonight, about 20 minutes left. I want everybody to go to my website, look for the Dreams and Visions e-book or e-transcript, and grab a hold of it. It also, I think it goes by on our slider, but if you go to the front page, you'll see mindfulness and awareness, and it's about the fourth item down on the page, Dreams and Vision e-transcript. And it's a bargain price at $9.99. So go to the website, have a look, and enjoy. It really is, the dreams really are invaluable. I have patents myself. Several of my patentable ideas were notarized by an attorney. They were dated and stamped. I never acted on them because to get a patent was pretty expensive when I was a young man, about $3,500 each. But it's there, and a lot of this information came to me through dreams. And as we talked about tonight, as Tom has mentioned about his YouTube video on inventions and dreams, that, go and have a look. Listen to the video and see just how valuable this marvelous ability we have that we call dreams can be utilized by yourself. Now, as I said off the top of the show, there are many things that dreams or things that go bump in the night beyond inventions. You can go and see who you were in a past life and why you have a certain situation. A past life recall can happen during a sleep state. You can work out your karma and to find out you know, what were the influences back then that are relating to your life now? And also through dreams, these have all happened to me, these experiences that I've had. I'm recounting here some of the topics, but I have all of these. I've been able to have visions of the future, and I've been able to have visitations from divine beings or angels or people watching over me. And, you know, it's available to us all. We just have to practice, and as Chuck asked, how do I start? That isn't exactly what he asked, but the point is that start with 3-ring binder paper, write down some notes on the top when you first recognize that you're waking up, try to go over the dream without moving around in your bed. And once you get it over your in your mind, going over it a time or two, then write down immediately the scene or the setting in which you are having a dream. Then go to the washroom or wake up, and then proceed to write down as much of the dream and in detail as you possibly can. If you have 2 or 3 scenes, make sure you note first, second, and third scene, because if you start to write the first scene down in detail, you might forget the third one. So be clever, write down what you remember, and then take your time and fill in again as much detail as possible. Up, it means successful. Going upstairs, taking steps, means you will be assured of your success. It's just going to progress objective by objective, step by step. If you're on a nice paved road and you're flying along in your car, that means that your life is going to move along very easily and very nicely. If you're on a bumpy road, or if you're on a road filled with stones, well, that means the upcoming time in your life is going to be a little more difficult. It's not going to be an easy ride. And sometimes seeing yourself going through a forest where the road, you can't see ahead, but you know it's meandering through the forest, it means that you're going to go through some uncertain times, but as long as you keep going, you're going to get out of this time of uncertainty or this time where you can't see clearly ahead. You just have to keep taking your steps. When you come to a Y in the road, it means a decision. When you enter into water, you're talking about the spiritual consciousness or the soul mind. When you're in the desert, it's a time of being alone, or perhaps it's a time in which it's a time out, it's a difficult time where you are going to be alone and no one is going to help you. If you find yourself at a train station or a bus station, it's a temporary time. It's a time in which you're going to be in a period in which, you know, it's a transitional time. You're moving between here and there, but for a time you will seemingly be going nowhere. You'll be waiting. If you're in a parking lot, or if you're in a jail, or if you're someplace where you're waiting, it means that you're not going to move ahead very easily in the short time ahead of you. Especially if you're in jail, it means you're kind of trapped in your life and you're dissatisfied. It's like you're in prison. But you can break out of jail by being aware that this is coming. Then the decisions you make will allow you to find an escape and to avoid this time of difficulty or being trapped. By the way, you know, we talked about people having dreams for other people. And it's true, you can have a dream about someone, a friend or a neighbor or a spouse or a sibling. And the dream you get will have nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them. And you can simply go, as we had earlier from our friend Chris, that he was having a dream about this center in Florida. And this would be something that came through him to talk about, to demonstrate, to communicate, rather, with people in Florida that maybe this would be a good idea. And he actually saw the place, the location. So sometimes we have dreams that come to us as opposed to somebody that they're meant for, and maybe there's a reason that the dream won't get through to them, but it comes to us and we become a dream messenger. The idea is that you can dream in tandem as well. You will have half the dream, and somebody else will have the other half of the dream. Two twins could have one part each, or spouses could have one part each, or friends can have one part each. And it's really interesting. The more I investigate, the more I do research, the more I find out that it's amazing how the soul mind communicates with us. It's amazing how we're all one. It's amazing how we're linked up mind to mind. The race mind, the consciousness that we have in our mind just is evidence of it reaching out and keeping in touch through those times in which we believe we're asleep, in which our mind is very active when we're out visiting. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after this with more about dreams and dreaming and how you can get rich through your dreams. We'll be right back.
Master your own mind as you seek the higher spiritual dimensions. Mind Mastering by Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is packed with secrets to help you navigate to the higher spiritual realms. Dr. Douglas learned these techniques throughout his long and successful career. With Mind Mastering, you'll be able to avoid misguided souls who try to hold you back. Mind Mastering is your GPS to the dimensions above. Whether you are a beginner or an experienced seeker, this ebook will guide you safely to the higher realms. Mind Mastering is available now on the store at douglasjamescottrell.com.
Welcome back to the show, my friends. This is Douglas James Cottrell speaking. I want to remind everyone that the opinions expressed tonight are those of the participants and the guests, and not necessarily the opinions of myself and or Blog Talk Radio. All information offered tonight has been gained from intuitive or psychic sources, and the information should not be viewed as a medical or financial authority. That the information is offered for its informational purposes only, and it should be used in a reasonable and practical manner. I want to invite you to come to my next event. This would be in February. February the 22nd is the target date. So please look to the website, douglasjamescottrell.com, or call in 905-393-5104. Learn about clairvoyance, remote viewing, and karma, past lives, mind projection, assessing the Akashic, and much, much more. Your questions are welcomed, and I'll be giving my intuitive impressions, reading your auras, answering your questions that you might want to ask intuitively about, and any concern on how you can develop yourself intuitively. I'm here to teach you, and we look forward to you coming and asking and visiting us at the next event. Remember, you save 25% off the fee or the ticket if you book in advance. So please call 905-393-5104 or email info at douglasjamescottrell.com. And to those people who came last time, I think Wayne was the man that flew in from California to have
Warren.
Warren was the man that flew in from California, and we had some people come in from Montreal to visit us as well. And we had people from all across the GTA and from other centers as well. So we look forward to having you visit us and come to this exciting daily event where we're going to teach you, show you, demonstrate, provoke you. We're going to pull out every stop that you can develop yourself intuitively. And not only are we going to explain it, we're going to give you demonstrations of it. So come and see the invisible made visible. looking forward to our next event. And we'll be traveling around the country, I'm sure, from time to time. If you're interested in having me come to your place in Vancouver or anywhere in the U.S. of A., please let us know. We'd be interested in coming and bringing this exciting, dynamic event to your place, to your center, or to your group. Okay, we have a few more minutes left in the show. Robert, I thought we'd touch upon, the gold markets. Everybody's interested in the predictions that we were making back in December, but the Chinese certainly are flexing their muscles. There seem to be in the news. I'm getting emails from our good friend John, who started the ball rolling a little while ago. And, it seems to be that the Chinese are not backing down, as the reading predicted. And that the markets, the Dow has been in a decline ever since Christmas time or thereabouts. And you watch the financial markets, Robert. I know that we're not predicting anything, but what do you think? Is that prediction we made about China and the markets sort of holding up at this point in time?
It's holding. It's really not going anywhere until we have something more definitive. As for gold, you picked a very auspicious time to ask. The consensus of the experts I communicate with and follow, depending on my relationship with each of them on a daily basis, is the magic number. I'm getting two magic numbers. This is not intuitive. This is simply what the chartists are saying is either 1268 or 1270. And if you look, I think right now, I'm not at a computer, but I think gold is like something like 1260 or 1261 after doing an astonishing pop today based on news that India might be withdrawing its gold restriction duties and imports. The reason for this magic number is that if gold does get above that number, there's no turning back, meaning literally in your lifetime, you might never see gold below that again. I'm just mentioning this again on a technical basis. I recall about, three, four shows ago, I guess, a woman called and asked me off the cuff on a technical basis for a number to watch in the GDX. And I do remember telling her at the time to watch the number $22.22, saying that if it holds above that number, then you have essentially a new bull market starting. It went slightly below that, and it came right back to it. And then in the last three or four sessions this week, it has popped GDX, which is the ETF or index that is a conglomeration of senior gold stocks. It has popped significantly above that. So all that is looking solid. But, again, you picked an auspicious time to ask. The real battle, I suspect, will take place tonight with the London opening and the New York opening. Traditionally, for the last, I won't say months, I'll say years, but nobody's been writing about it, the hammering of gold, the mysterious hammering of gold, as one writer put it on the Internet yesterday, takes place in London, followed by a real whack as the COMEX opens at about 8:30, 8:20. So another writer calls himself Jesse's Café Américain, has said that every time the London hands off to the COMEX, gold gets hit so badly virtually every day that it takes the rest of the entire session in New York for it to recover. And that's one of the many mechanisms by which gold has been controlled and very well controlled for the last while. So once again, good time to ask. The magic number would be, let's just say, 1270. If gold can get above that number in the next, I would guess it'll happen in the tomorrow's session. If it can get above that number tomorrow, you could see the beginning of a new rally. If it gets whacked back in London or New York when it's passed off to New York, then it could be another 2 months before it gets a chance to come back.
Okay, well, in Hong Kong right now on Akiko.com, we're at about 1265 thereabouts. It's bouncing around. It's been holding steady, narrow range between 1260 and 1265. Just about all night long from the close of London through New York and New York.
London hasn't come online, Doug. That would be the close
of
New York.
I'm going back. It's been in a narrow range from about 1260, 1265 since yesterday. And we're, I'm looking at the Kitco thing right now. It's kind of bouncing up a little bit. Had about 1260 range right now. So it's holding steady. It's looking good. It's going sideways right now, and it's been in there. So I'm looking back from London through New York through Sydney to Hong Kong right now as we speak on the 24-hour kitco.com. So, Robert, that's a pretty good call, Robert. We're looking at, this would be the dividing point. Gold would go up and the Dow would go down. Is that normally what happens? I mean, I'm asking rhetorically.
Well, no, there's some controversy about that, too. A number of the experts that I communicate with are saying now that gold has seemingly, I want to underline that because sometimes people get confused, been going up with the Dow. I'm not sure I believe that. I'm more in your corner and think that gold is going up for its own reasons that have nothing whatever to do with the Dow. The Dow has actually been fairly weak, and you made a comment in that reading, which was aired by your producer several times in the last few sessions, saying watch the first couple of sessions of January, which was a reference to what they call in technical terms the January effect. And the January effect, which is a very reliable, statistically reliable indicator, is as the market does for the first week or two, some say 5 days, but let's be generous, as the first week or two of January, that becomes like a prophetic mirroring of how it'll act for the rest of the 11 months of the year. And so far, not spectacular. In fact, so far, quite weak.
So those predictions that we made look like it's going to happen, that the Chinese were coming forward. There's going to be no backing down from the U.S. or Japan. I've seen reports going by that tanks and young men dressed up in battle fatigues, all Chinese prepared to go to war to take over. I think there's even one island that they're going to go for. I think I saw a report like that. The Dow looks like it's pretty weak. Looks like it might go down. It might take some time. I think the prediction said it could stretch into January, which seems to be taking place. And then we're now going to see, God bless America, and that the gold prices will, bullion will go up. And so will the gold shares. I'm sure that's be welcome news to all of us who are hanging on to our nickels and dimes here in the investment market. Well, gentlemen, Tom, any comments? We have a minute left. Anything that's on your plate about the world markets that have come out in the readings? Tom?
I haven't asked about world markets recently in the readings. So nothing really to add to that. What Robert said about it was interesting, but on that particular topic, no.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you both for being on the show. This is Douglas James Cottrell speaking, my good friend and co-host Robert Appel standing by, and tonight's special guest, Tom, with his brand new release about dreams and inventions in dreams. Highly recommend it. It's startling information. Go and look at the YouTube video. Go to my website as well and buy my book about dreams. Go to the store page and look for the dream books, $9.99 each. So welcome, my friends. Stay warm wherever you are in the world. And for those people who are nice and warm in the world, we are envious. We wish we're there. Anyway, take care. God bless. And we'll see you this time next week, 8 o'clock, on the worldwide broadcast of The Oracle Speaks. God bless. Good night. Good night, Robert. Good night, Tom. Take care, my friends. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.